You are about to listen to a very refreshing and powerful message by God's servant, Pastor Vincent Nwensi. We pray that God will use this message to bless you richly and take you to a higher level of victory and breakthrough as you walk with Him in Jesus' name. Here now is your host, Pastor Vincent Nwensi.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Can everybody hear English properly?
Yes.
Okay. I want to share with you this morning on something that I consider very important. The secret of getting answers from God. The secret of getting answers from God. A lot of Christians get frustrated because again and again they try to get answers from God and it's like God is not answering. Some pray, but like they hardly see any results. And after a while, some give up or become discouraged and begin to withdraw their feet from the things of God. Sometimes it looks as though God does not answer everybody. He answers some people and He doesn't answer some people. But that is not true. God is our Father. He loves every one of us. But there's a way to walk with God in order to get answers from Him. And as a believer, it is important that you know what that key is so that you can get results from God. Because when you are getting results from God, your Christianity will become exciting and interesting. That is when you can be bold to tell somebody about the God that you are serving. But if you are not getting results from God, if it's as though you pray, your prayer is not answered, and you say you are trusting God and you don't get results, after a while you become discouraged. If at all you still go to church, you just go out of mere formality. But we serve a living God. And He has ears to hear. He has eyes to see. And He has the heart of love. So, if you serve that kind of God, there's no reason why you should not be getting results from God. Now, but there's one central secret, or do I call it key, to getting results from God as a believer, as a child of God. And that key is acting on God's word. We call that faith. Acting on God's word is the key, is the secret to getting answers from God. Now, if you have been a Christian for a while, you would have heard a lot of preaching. All sorts of preaching, pastors come and they preach and they teach you the word of God. But getting results, getting answer is another thing. You may be full of knowledge and still very empty where results are concerned. And the problem might be that you are not putting to work, you are not practicalizing the word of God that you are hearing. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot please Him, and without faith, you cannot walk with Him. God is a faith God. He requires faith to walk. And so, except you know how to put your faith to work, you cannot please Him. And if you cannot please somebody, how can you get results from Him? So, faith is very, very important. But if I ask you what is faith, a lot of people will say faith is believing God. Well, yes, faith is believing God, but that is not all. Faith is like a two-sided coin. It's got two sides. One side is believing Him. The other side is putting action to what you believe. Are you hearing me? So on one hand, you believe Him. You believe His word. On the other hand, you put action to what you believe. If you claim you believe, but you are not putting action into what you believe, your faith is not complete. And if you go to the shop and you take a coin that has one side, the other side is defaced, but one side is good. If you take that coin to a shop, they will not take it from you. Because the two sides must be complete before you can purchase with that coin. If you take a note, a currency note, tie bat, you take it to the shop to go and buy something. One side has something on it, on the other side it is empty. There's nothing on it. they will not take that money from you, because the currency needs to have two sides. Now listen to me. Faith is the currency with which spiritual transactions are carried out. Faith is the currency with which spiritual transactions are carried out. I say that one more time. Faith is the currency with which spiritual transactions are carried out. If you want to have a transaction with God, if you want to get results from God, He will ask for your faith. He will ask for your faith. A lot of people go to God with their needs. They go to God with their problems. But God is asking you, where is your faith? It's not enough to go to God with your problem. As you go to God with your problem, make sure that you have faith. It's like going to the super mall or a supermarket. You can say, I need a pair of shoes, I need some clothes, and then you go to the supermarket. When you get there, you'll be required to produce money, because money is the medium of exchange. When you want to do business with God, faith is required. And so the Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 29. Let's look at it. Matthew 9:29. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now Jesus was ministering to blind people there, two blind men that came to Jesus. The Bible said they cried after him. And they said, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Jesus went to the house. They followed Jesus to the house. Have mercy on us. Then the Bible said, Jesus touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. It's not according to your blindness. It's not according to your pain. It's not according to your need. But according to your faith, be it unto you. Now you need to understand that God responds to faith, not to needs. It is when you connect your needs with your faith that your needs are met. But you can have a whole lot of needs as a child of God, and there you say, you are saying, but God promised this, God promised that, God promised that, until you bring faith to work, those needs will be there looking at you. According to your faith, not according to your needs, not according to your tears, not according to your pain, but according to your faith, be it unto you. And as a child of God, you need to know how to put faith to work. You need to know how to put faith to work. But let me go over something again. I know I taught some of you this already, but let me go over it again. What is faith? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, or things desired. Faith is the substance of the things that you desire, and the evidence of things not seen. I want to explain that to you. In that one verse, the Bible tells us that faith is two things in one. Number one, it is the substance of things that you desire. I'm coming to that. Number two, it is the evidence of the things that you don't see. So there are two things. Now, what does it mean when it says faith is the substance? The substance has to do with you connecting with what you desire in your spirit. If, for instance, I want a pair of shoes, and I go before God and say, Lord, I want a pair of shoes, and then I believe God's word. I say, Lord, you said, ask and it shall be given to you. And I say, Lord, I am asking for this pair of shoes, and I believe that I receive. Now, if I truly believe that God is going to provide me those pair of shoes because I am standing on His word, if I truly believe, then in the unseen realm of my spirit, there is a substance. And it is the substance of a pair of shoes. If you wake me up in the middle of the night and you say, what are you expecting? Immediately, I will tell you a pair of shoes. Because it is real in me, and I'm standing on the word of God for it. I am believing God for a pair of shoes. So it is something that has become real inside of me, not just my desire, but my believing God for those pair of shoes have become so real inside of me that it has become a substance. It is inside me. I know I am trusting God for this thing. I am believing God for this. And God's word has promised me this, so I am standing on God's word to meet this need. If, for instance, you are believing God for a husband, and you go to the word of God, you find a promise that guarantees a husband. For instance, the Bible says, it is not good that man should be alone. If it is not good that man should be alone, then it is not good that a woman should be alone. So you can stand on that promise and say, Lord, it is not your promise that I should be single all my life. I need a husband, and I am standing on your word. And you keep standing on that word. Inside of you, if you truly believe that God is going to provide you with a husband, inside of you there will be peace. And there will be this confident assurance that my husband is on the way, or my wife is on the way. God will reveal my husband. God will reveal my wife. You keep standing on the word of God. So that becomes real inside of you. That confidence in the word of God is what is called substance. That's number one. But then it says also that faith is the evidence or the proof of things not seen. This is where your actions come to play. If you believe God for something, you need to begin to act like God is going to give you what you are believing for. That practical action is what is called evidence. Because now, it is what you believe that is making you to act the way you are acting. For instance, let's say you are believing God for a husband. And now, somebody comes around and is not serious, and he just want to play with you, want to go to bed with you, and you say, no, I don't want to mess up myself. I'm waiting for my husband. I know God is sending me a husband. Or maybe you are a man, you are believing God for a wife. You are trusting God's word. And now a sister comes around or a woman comes around, it's like, let's just play around. Say, no, I can't do that. I am reserving myself for my wife. I know my wife is on the way. Now, your action now becomes the evidence. Is somebody understanding that? Your action becomes the evidence that you believe. Okay, let me give another example. Supposing somebody says to you, I will come to your house today by 3 p.m. He says, I'm coming to your house. Let's say somebody who has not been around for a while and is in town and he says, I'm going to visit you by 3 p.m. What do you do? If you believe that he's coming to your house, then there is that confidence in your heart. He's coming to my house today. He's coming to my house today. That is a substance because it has become real inside you. But then, not only will you believe, you will begin to, maybe you want to get some food ready. You want to make sure there's some drink in the fridge. You prepare some food for him because when he comes around, you want to give him something to eat. And then maybe there are some questions you want to ask. You get all those things ready. And then you tidy up your house. The action that follows your believing is the evidence. Is somebody getting that? So when you say you believe, but there is no corresponding action, then your faith is not complete. And that kind of faith cannot produce. Please, you need to understand this because this is where a lot of believers are frustrated. They just say, well, I'm believing God, I'm trusting God. But if you check their life, you cannot see any practical action that corresponds with what they claim to be believing. If you say you are believing God, when you believe God with your heart, that is one side of the coin. But then you need to give evidence to your faith by your practical corresponding action. That is when faith becomes complete. And that is when results are guaranteed. Let's look at Hebrews. That's Hebrews 4:2. It says, but unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Did you hear that? Unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now here is referring to the Israelites of old. God preached the gospel to them. What is the gospel? It is the good news of God's goodness. In the New Testament, it is the good news of God's salvation, God's provision, God's deliverance through Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. The gospel basically means good news. Now, when the children of Israel were in bondage in the land of Egypt, God sent them some good news. I am going to take you out of this bondage, and I'm taking you into a land that is flowing with milk and honey. When you get there, you become landlords. You will have more than abundance. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. You will no longer be slaves. You will be landowners. You will be free. And I will be your God. That was good news. God sent Moses to give them that good news. But you know, many of the people that left Egypt did not get to the promised land. The Bible said the reason was that the gospel that was preached to them did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. If you don't mix God's word with faith, it will not produce. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't matter whether you are an archbishop, a pastor, an evangelist, or whatever. If you don't mix God's word with faith, it will not produce. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. So, there is something to do for God's word to become profitable to you. There is something to do for God's word to become profitable to you. There is something to do for God's word to generate results in your life. God is not a liar. His word is true. But the word of God will not work until you do something. This morning, as I was coming, I realized I needed some cash. I went to the cash point. I put in my card. And then they asked me for my PIN. I pressed the number in and it gave me the amount that I wanted. Now, if I did not provide the correct details, I would not have gotten the money, even though the money was in my account. The money there is in my account, but when I said I wanted the money, they asked me to put my identification number there, my PIN. Until I put it correctly, the machine did not release the money to me. If I had put the wrong number, the machine would have said, no, you can't get it. Now, as a child of God, the blessings of God are there for you. God has put the blessing there for you. There is blessing in your account. Jesus has already paid the price needed for you to get all the blessing you need in this life. But God requires you to bring faith. You've got to bring faith to the table in order to take hold of those blessings. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And those to whom God sent the gospel of taking them into the promised land, many of them did not get in. Why? Because the word that they heard was not mixed with faith. It was not mixed with faith in their heart. They heard it. Some of them claimed they believed, but they did not mix the word with faith. And as a result, they could not get into that promise. That is why also today, so many believers are not able to enter into the blessing of what God has promised. Because what they hear is not being mixed with faith. Some claim they believe, but they are not giving evidence to what they believe, in that they are not acting on what they claim to believe. Now let me tell you something. Somebody will say to me, Pastor, you see, my problem is that I often doubt the word of God. I hear it, but I don't know. I keep doubting. That is simply because your spirit has not properly taken hold of the word. You need to sit down with the word, meditate on it again and again, chew it, and properly digest it so that it can get into your spirit. It's not what is in your head we are talking about. It's what is in your heart. Let this word enter into your heart. When it gets into your heart and settles in your heart, then actions will begin to follow. It's not head knowledge. You can be full of Bible knowledge, and yet your life will be empty as far as results are concerned. Until the word of God enters into your heart and settles there, until that happens, you will find that you won't be able to stand on it. So you need to chew on the word. You need to chew it. You need to meditate on it. Why? Because all sorts have been dumped in your mind. 7 days of the week, the devil and the world are throwing all sorts into your mind. If you pick up the newspaper, you see all sorts of news. If you listen to the television, if you watch television, all sorts have been thrown into your mind. If you go out there as you go about your day-to-day business, you see all sorts that are happening. These things precipitate on your mind. And then you come to church once a week, you just hear the word of God, you don't even think about it, you don't even meditate upon it. And you think that that is how it's going to work. No. You've got to allow that word to sink into you. Sink in. And the way to do that is to meditate on it. Speak it to yourself. My God shall supply all my needs, according to his riches in glory. I am trusting God. You just chew it, chew it, chew it. After a while, it will take hold of you. Most times, it won't happen instantly. But you have to chew it and chew it and chew it, then it will settle in. When it settles in, then you have the substance. Is somebody understanding me? Then you have the substance. When you step out, you begin to act according to what is inside you. That is when faith is at work. Let's look at how the children of Israel behaved that made them not to enter the promised land so we can learn from them. Let's look at Numbers. Numbers chapter 13, 1 to 3, and then 17 to 20. You see, God told Moses, send men to the promised land, the land that I promised you. I've been talking to you about it for years now. I want you to send some men there to go and take a look at the land. Let them find out what the land is like and let them bring back reports. Let them go and see whether the land is a good land or is bad land, whether it is fertile or not fertile. Let them see what kind of land it is. First of all, the Bible says that God said he should send leaders, the heads of each tribe. Those are the people to send. Why did God do that? To make sure that the people that have been sent are people who have already experienced God. These people were there when God sent the 10 plagues upon Egypt to deliver them. They were present when God parted the Red Sea for the people to pass. They were present when God sent manna from heaven. So these are not novices. These are people who have been there. And they have been hearing what Moses has been saying right from Egypt, that God was taking them to a land flowing with milk and honey. And so God said, before I take them in, I want to hear what they have to say. Beloved, listen to me. This is very, very important. This is very, very important. It is not enough for God to speak and say, I am going to bless you. He wants to hear what you have to say. He wants to see whether you believe what he has spoken. God said, I'm going to bless them. He has been speaking to them. I'm taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey. I am taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey. I am taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey. But before he took them in, he said, let me even hear what the people are saying. Let me hear whether they believe what I have said. Let me find out what they are saying. I said they are going into that land. I said they are going into a good land. But what are the people saying? What do the people really believe? Because like I told you earlier, God is a faith God. He works by faith. And so he wanted to find out whether there was faith in the heart of the people before he tests them into what he was promising them. Because God and unbelief cannot work together. So he said to Moses, send 12 men to go and spy the land. Each one representing each tribe. I want to hear their report. I have told them what they are going to get. But now I want to hear what they are believing. So they went. And when they came back with their own report. Look at from verse 27 to 33. Numbers 13, 27 to 33. Look at it. It says, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Enoch there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we had gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Enoch, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Now, look at something here. They went out to check the land, and they came back to give report of a land. They said there were giants in the land. They said there were a lot of enemies there. The question is, what they said, was it wrong? No, it was not wrong. Indeed, there were giants in the land. Indeed, the Amalekites were there. The Hittites were there. The Canaanites were there. That was correct. But after saying this, and the Bible said they brought evil reports. Why was it an evil report? It was an evil report because they did not believe what God has said concerning the land. There are some of you there. You measure so much on what the situation is saying. You measure so much on what the economy is saying. You measure so much on what is happening and what is not happening, instead of believing what God is saying concerning you and concerning your situation. It is not that God does not recognize that what you are saying is true, but you ought to lift up the word of God over and above what your situation is saying. You ought to lift up the word of God over and above what your circumstances are saying. I know that this is happening. I know that that is like that. But God's word says like this. And so I believe that through the word of God, this situation is turning around. Caleb said to them, "We are well able to overcome the land." Because what these people were really saying was not just that they saw the giants in the land. They were simply saying, because of the giants, we are not sure we will be able to go into the land. You can now see the wisdom in sending them. God said, "I am taking you into the land." But they said, "We are not going to be able to go into the land." And so they were not able to go in. Because it's not enough for God to promise to do great things in your life. You must believe it. It is not enough for God to promise to provide you a job, to heal your body, to provide you a wife, a husband. It's not enough. What you believe is very, very important. It will only be fulfilled if you believe what God has spoken and you act like it. And now listen to me. What you say is a part of action. What you say is a part of action. So if you are saying, "I don't think I will ever get married. I don't think I will ever get a job here in Thailand. I don't think things will ever work." Now, if you are talking like that, you are acting contrary to the promises that God has given you in His word. And when you do like that, it doesn't matter how much prayer. Oh, you need to hear this. It doesn't matter how much prayer you may pray, there will be no result. There are a lot of people that pray and pray and pray and pray, but they are frustrated. Because faith is a hand that receives from God. If you are praying and you are not believing, you are not stretching forth your hand to take what you are praying for. So God requires to see your faith in action. God requires to see your faith in action. Please listen to me. A lot of people are frustrated in church. Did you hear what I just said? A lot of people are frustrated in church because they go to church and they pray and pray and pray and pray. Nothing happens. Prayer has its own place. But faith must play its own part. Faith is the hand that receives from God. Faith is the hand that receives from God. God said, I am taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey. But they said, we are like grasshoppers. We are not able to go into that land. We cannot go into that land. This thing will not happen. Because we saw this, we saw that, we saw that, we saw that. Excuse me. Didn't God see the giants when he made that promise? Didn't God know that the cities were walled around when he made the promise? Didn't God know that there were Canaanites and Hittites and Jebusites in the land when he made the promise? God knew. And yet God said to them, I am taking you into a land flowing with milk and honey. They needed to believe God and act like it. Caleb said, let us go at once. Let us go. We are well able to do it. Why? Because God promised us. Caleb's thinking was, the same God that delivered us from the hands of Pharaoh, the same God that parted the Red Sea for us to pass, the same God that sent down manna from heaven to feed us when we're hungry, that same God is able to take us into the land that he has promised. Let us put action. Let us step out. Let us go at once. But the rest of the people said, no, we are not able. We are not able. And so they could not enter. The Bible says that the gospel that was preached to them did not profit them because the word of God was not mixed with faith. So I want to encourage you. Mix the promise, the word of God that you receive with faith. Take time to digest the promise and then begin to act on it. If God says it is well with you, open your mouth and say, it is well with me. If God says that progress is your portion, if God says that you shall be head and not tail, then open your mouth and say, I am head and not tail. If God says that you are going to triumph over the obstacles of life, then be confident and say, I don't care what surrounds me. I don't care what is happening and what is not happening. Praise God, I'm triumphing. I see myself triumphing over the situation. It is when you begin to act like that, that God is able to fulfill the promise that he has made to you. It doesn't matter what God promises to do in your life. If you don't add faith, if you don't put faith to work, you won't see results. You won't see results. Because God works by faith. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? That is very, very important. That is very, very important. They said they were not able to go there. Now look at chapter 14. Numbers 14:28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. As you have spoken, so will I do to you. I said that you are going into a land flowing with milk and honey, but you said you are going to die in the wilderness. That's what you get. That's what you get. There are some of you there. Almost every day you are afraid that they are going to deport you. You are afraid that they are going to send you packing. But I thought the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I thought the Bible says that whithersoever the soles of your feet shall tread upon, there has the Lord given into your hand. When are you going to rise up and take hold of God's word and begin to believe him? That it doesn't matter what they are saying, it doesn't matter what the policemen are doing, inasmuch as it is God that has opened the door for you to be in that land and you want to stay there, you are going to be there. Why don't you believe? There are some of you living in fear. I don't know when they are going to send me packing. I don't know when I'm going to be. Why don't you begin to believe God? Put faith to work. It's not a case of coming to prayer meeting all the time and praying and praying and praying and praying and not believing anything. Prayer is important. But you must learn to believe God's word. Believe God's word. Talk like God's word is true. Act like God's word is true. And that is when God can respond to you. Look at Hebrews chapter 3 verse 19. Hebrews 3:19. So we see that they could not enter in. Why? Because of unbelief. It was not because of the enemy. Oh my God, help me. They could not enter in. It was not because of the enemy. It was not because the situation was so hard. They could not enter in, not because the enemy was so strong. They could not enter in, not because the situation was so hard. They could not enter in for one reason. Because of unbelief. because of unbelief. If you want to enter into what God has promised you, you've got to throw unbelief away. You've got to decide that you are going to believe God's word. And you've got to begin to act like God's word is true. Did somebody hear that? You've got to begin to act like God's word is true. Practicalize God's word. Stand on it. God said it. I believe it. And I'm talking like it. And I'm acting like it. That is the secret. The number one secret to getting answers from God. And when you begin to get answers in your Christian life, you will find that your Christian life becomes exciting. That is when you are happy to preach the gospel. That is when you don't want to copy what the world is doing. Because what God is doing for you, the world cannot do for you. So you need to know how to get results from God. Practicalizing God's word. Acting on the word. The knowledge that you have already, the knowledge of God's word, start from there. Begin to act on that knowledge. Some of you live in fear. I don't know whether this will happen. No, I thought you prayed. You finished praying, but you are still not believing. Somebody just says something negative, and immediately it's like, hey, this is what's going to happen. I thought you said you believe God. How come that what somebody is saying is more important to you than what God has said concerning you? How come that what a man is saying is touching you much more than what God is saying in his word? So you need to change the way you treat the word of God. Begin to believe it. Ponder on it. Digest it. Give yourself fully to the word so that you can begin to profit by it. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Timothy 4, 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear. Oh God, help me. Meditate. Take time to ponder on the word of God. Ponder it. Because you need to chew the word. You cannot eat raw rice. You need to cook it before you can eat it. That is how the word of God is. You cannot eat raw meat. You need to cook it before you can eat it. When you take time to meditate on the word of God and allow it to enter into you, it's like cooking it. Then you can digest it. That is when your profiting will appear. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself, not partially, but wholly, totally, to them that thy profiting may appear unto all. Amen. Now let me share a testimony with you. This last week, I was discussing with a Christian sister. She is not a member of our church, but she handles our account here in London. So I was discussing with her, and she started to tell me some things about her life. She has a son. She said when that boy was 8 years old, she said she called the boy and said to him, I am going to give you a job in this house. Every day when you wake up, you will tidy the whole house, you will wash the plates, you will put the clothes in the washing machine, you will tidy your room, and you do that every day. To encourage you, each week, I will give you £2. Each week, I will give you £2. If you sweep the house and tidy everything, including your room too, and then you wash the place and everything, each week, I will give you £2. Then she said to him, but listen, this is how you are going to spend the money. You will take away 20p, which is a tenth. It's your tithe. You must take it away and give to God. Then you will take away 10p and you look for somebody who is in need and bless that person. She said, then you will save a little part of it. It doesn't matter how small. You have to take that away and then you have to save that one. She said, when she finished speaking to the boy cried, ran away from her and said, all the money is finished. The money you promised to give me, I take away 20p for tithe. I give away 10p and then I must take away some that I'm going to save. The boy started crying. She said to him, whether you cry or not, that is the way it's going to be done. Well, the boy started doing what the mom told him to do. Every week, the mom will give him £2. He will separate 20p. He said, mom, that's the tithe. That's the tenth. And then he will take away 10p and look for somebody and be a blessing to that person. And then he will keep away some to save. The boy started doing it. The mom said, he told him and said, The one you are giving to God is not lost. The one you are giving to God is going into your heavenly account. Anytime you have need, God will provide for you. And the man said, he told him, when you want a withdrawal, come and tell me. I will teach you how to withdraw money from your heavenly account. So the boy just kept doing it. I kept doing it. Then it came to the time for Christmas. And the boy came with a list of the things that he wanted. I want this, I want that, I want that. He said, Mom, I want to withdraw from my heavenly account. One of the things the boy wanted was trainers. I want this, I want that. So the mom said, okay, come. So they went and knelt down. He said, I want you to tell God that you want these things this Christmas, that you are making a withdrawal from your heavenly account. So the boy prayed. And the mom prayed with him and said to him, now don't worry about it. Every day when you wake up, say, Lord, thank you that my blessings are coming. Thank you that you are providing me all these things for Christmas. He said, I told the boy, just keep doing it like that. And the boy kept doing it like that. She said, when the time for Christmas came, she said, people started blessing the boy with money. They started giving him envelopes. You open the envelope, 10 pounds. Open another envelope, 20 pounds. He said, that Christmas, the money that they gave to the boy, when he calculated it, it came to 150 pounds. He said she did not give the boy anything. She wanted the boy to know that God is faithful. She said that Christmas, the boy got 150 pounds. And the boy was so surprised. He said, you mean this thing is true? He said, that's the word of God. It is true. The boy was able to buy the trainers he wanted to buy and everything. She said, after that, the boy became very zealous. And anytime the boy gets money, the first part he will remove God's own part. He said, that's God's own. And then he would do like the mom told him to do, be a blessing to somebody and then save some. And so God started to bless the boy. Now, the blessing didn't end there. He said, right now, the boy is on scholarship. And the way the whole thing happened was so surprising. He said, when they were making the selection for the scholarship, neither herself nor the father knew anything about it. They didn't know. There was a group of people that were organizing the program. They wanted to give some post-scholarship. They did not know. After the first and second stages, they got the information. It's like, well, it's already too late. They just decided to try. And when they got there, immediately the boy found favor. Even though they have finished the first and second stages, they still admitted the boy to undergo the process. And to cut the long story short, they said the boy was successful. And they gave the boy scholarship. As I'm speaking to you right now, the boy is on scholarship. You see how God blesses people. What is the difference? This sister is not a pastor. She is not a pastor's wife. She is not a deaconess. She is just a sister in church who has come to know that the way to profit is by acting on the word of God. And she is acting on the word of God. Today, she has a business. And the business is prospering. Why? Because she is just acting on the word of God. Let me tell you, God is not partial. The quickest way to get results from God is to do what he says to do. Specifically, putting your faith to work. And it's very, very important. So, this is the secret. The number one secret to getting answers from God. It is by acting on the word of God. Putting your faith to work. God's word is not spoken to you to entertain you. It is spoken to you to increase your life. To make your life better. It is when you act on it that you begin to see results. And when you begin to get results out of the word of God, I'm telling you, your life will develop a new music. It will change totally. Excitement will enter into your life. And you'll be happy to tell somebody about a God that solves problems. So this is what I want to share with you today. And I want you to take it to heart. There are some of you there, you have some problems you have been crying about. Oh God, when are you going to solve this problem? Oh God, when are you going to solve this problem? Well, I have a question for you. When are you going to begin to act your faith? When are you going to begin to put your faith to work concerning that situation? When are you going to begin to do that? There are some of you that you don't tithe. Even though the pastor has spoken about it a number of times, you don't tithe. Your excuse is that the situations are very hard, things are very difficult. You don't tithe. And yet you want the heavens to open. You need to act on the word of God. God is not a respecter of anybody. Even an 8-year-old boy, 8-year-old, when he acted on the word of God, God blessed him. God is not a respecter of anybody. Blessing will not come simply because you have been in church for a long time. Blessing comes when you learn to begin to act on the word of God. God's word is true. It's not a lie. Put it to work. Practicalize your faith. Step out on the word. Say, God says like this, and I believe it. And then act on it. And you will find that God is a faithful God. He is faithful to his word. Please hear me and hear me clearly. God doesn't bless people simply because you are going through problems. God blesses you because you believe his word and you act on his word. I wish I can say that 10,000 times. God doesn't bless people simply because you have problems. God wants to solve your problems. God wants to meet your need. But God requires faith. And everyone has the ability to believe. There is faith that God has given to every child of God. God wants you to put that faith to work. More also, when you study the word of God, faith comes from the word. Faith comes from the word of God and enters into your heart. You must put that faith to work. God is not a liar. What he has said is true. And if you want to see God in action, you must become a doer of the word. Put your faith to work so that God can work for you. Did you hear that? Put your faith to work so that God can work for you.
Dear friend, we believe you've been richly blessed by the message you've just heard. To order additional copies of this message, please call us on 0208 539 0504. That is 0208 539 0504. Or you can visit our online store at www.livingwordlive.net for this and many other messages. Orders can also be sent in by email. Please address your email orders to messages@livingwordlive.net. That is messages@livingwordlive.net. If you have prayer requests or need counselling, you can reach the pastor on 0208 539 0504. You can also send in your prayer requests online via our website. Till we come your way again next time, stay blessed and keep marching on in victory from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen.